is Core.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Core. My name is Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And we just got off of what I would call a very successful attempt to earn money for a good cause. And that happened on Saturday. Hopefully, well, I know a lot of you were there to see it. Some of the people I've seen live today were there. And many of you who are listening to the show now were probably there. So I want to, first of all, say a enormous thanks to everybody who came out, everybody who watched, everybody who participated in some way or another, especially those who gave so generously, because we whipped past our meager goal and ended up hitting $5,337 from 195 donors. A couple of you guys are insane with the big money, with the big cash money on the table. And it was awesome. You guys were great. And I just thought we'd take a second to thank people and get any quick thoughts we had in the aftermath of that. Bo, you had such a big hand in making it go and happen and come together, along with Ryan Reeder and others. But you guys really shouldered most of it. What are your after glow thoughts about our event on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of people thanking me, and I just feel kind of weird about it because, you know, I said to Ryan, I said, last year we did this thing, let's get started and do this thing. And really, a lot of thanks go out to the fans who donated, because, you know, we're just entertaining, but you're the ones actually showing up and giving the thing life. So I don't feel like I'm deserving of that much praise. And I thank Ryan for his help too. Like, it was instrumental in putting it all together, but really I'm, you know, it's not about me or about Ryan or about anyone, but there were a few thanks that I felt like I missed, and I just wanted to catch up on, if that makes sense.
Please do.
Actually the first was Ryan. So everyone thanked me at the end of the show and I got a few tweets, but Ryan deserves, he's 50-50 in terms of, I wouldn't have done it if he hadn't agreed to do it, I don't think. And he's Mr. Connection Man. I'm very friendly and approachable, but I don't really go out of my way sometimes to say hi to people more than I should. And he's definitely the antithesis of that. I feel like he's very friendly and he seems to know everybody. And
let me tell you something about, you know, let me tell you something about Ryan. If I knew Ryan in the night, let's say we all lived in the 1940s. All right.
Okay.
Ryan would be that guy that comes to your house and says, would you like to see this vacuum? And we'd say, I'm sorry, I got a vacuum. Everything's fine. And he'd say, but hold on. And he'd put his foot in the door and he would get me to buy that vacuum. He would do it, and I'd be happy I bought it. He'd show me how it works. He'd tip his hat to my wife, and he'd say, oh, what a lovely home you have, Miss Johnson. And she'd say, oh, well, thank you very much. We'd like some coffee, Shay. And everybody would all get along, and that's what Ryan would do. So he's good at that stuff. There's no question about it.
And not the cynical kind. He'll actually have also done you a solid by giving you that vacuum cleaner. Yeah, like, the objective view of things, it would have been a good deed.
Without question. That is true.
Yeah. So Ryan deserves some. I also want to give a shout out to Jimmy Bloxham, who was part of the show from the Heroes Power Hour. He put together our questions, so I wanted to give a little tip of the hat to him too.
Did great.
And John was our prize comptroller, and so he deserves a bit of recognition. He got a bit of assistance from Vesa, who was awesome, by the way.
She was great.
John was a part of it, and John Kyle, a lot of John Kyle Vincent. Ryan, like, a lot of us were on the picking what games to play committee. So, you know, a lot of other people's hard work were put into it, and I want to thank them. And finally, I don't know who got us on the front page of the launcher, but whoever did that, like, thank you. That was amazing. I assume it's someone from Blizzard, but I don't know if anyone had a hand in it on our team. But we just ended up on the launcher for some reason.
I think that Lash has watched a ton of it, and I think she was super keen on doing that. So I'll bet you money it was her, but I don't know that for sure.
Sorry. The launcher we knew about going into it. It was the front page.
Gotcha.
That was a huge driver, I think. We had up to 1,000 people at one point, or we crested really close to 1,000 watching the stream. And we expected to have, like, I think last year we had a solid 200, 300 people watching the stream. Mm-hmm. And we quadrupled the numbers. And that was just, it was incredible to see so much support from Blizzard. There was over 24 hero bundles and 3 like Machines of War bundles, and Rillandoon had some stim, like a whole pile of stim pack codes. I have no idea how much got given out, but it was like, is at least $1,000 in stuff. just for free for watching the stream. And that support had to come from somewhere. And as much as, you know, you might say, oh, Bone Ryan, you organized a thing, I really felt like the community around the game came together. And so I want to make sure that that's the star of the thank yous and not any one of us sort of personally.
Yeah.
Also, Scott, thank you for being on camera for 5 hours.
Yeah, that was also great. You guys could see
it's
me.
It's a chore, too.
I deteriorated in my both visage and voice quality as the day went on. It was about, we did that for about 5 hours total, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because we started a little early, and then we went a little long.
Yeah. And then, but we had fun through the whole thing. And all I wanted to do after, even though I had other stuff I had to go do, I wanted to keep playing Heroes, which is funny. Yeah. You'd think you'd need a break, but it was actually just sort of whetting my appetite. Plus, a lot of the stuff we did, well, all the stuff we did had no XP tied to it. So at the end of it, I'm like, well, I still got my dailies to do. I still got to get all my quests done. And that was a weird feeling after 5 hours of Heroes. But it went really great, and most importantly, kids get cool stuff because we gave it to the entire thing to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, not only a favorite charity of Blizzard's, but I think a perfect one for us and what our goals were. So huge thanks to all the shows who were involved, everybody involved, and especially the fine folks who decided to give. It was a really good cause, and we'll do it again next year even, maybe.
Yeah, I guess I better start prepping, because the only problem with this year and you guys doing such a good job is like pressure's on for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. It's a thing now. I think once you hit 5,000, it's a thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Trust me, as someone who's been involved in stuff that becomes things occasionally in my life, they get harder and harder to manage. In fact, I'll bet it's just a taste of what it feels like to work at Blizzard, because they go from a team of 20, barely making payroll, to big successful game, and then they have to top that, and then they have to top that. Most companies fold. Eventually, they fall apart, get bought out, get laid off, whatever. Not Blizzard. They just keep going. They keep making better games. They make better games, and one day, I don't know when it'll be, but they're going to hit some kind of crescendo and not be able to top the thing they did last, and I worry for them on that day, but today is not that day, okay?
No.
It's fine. It's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on those guys, and Team 1, Team 5, go do what you're doing. You guys are fine. But Team 1, thank you for this game. Don't forget, but all those things we said about the charity aside, thank goodness Heroes exists, and we've been able to be a part of a community of around a game that I think is, in many ways, redefining what a community can be for a MOBA. And that's an honor in itself. So we're just happy to be here and have put a little dent in the world on Saturday. So there you go. Let's move on. We got some stuff to talk about. North America and the European Union. You might be familiar with them. The HTC stuff has been going on, obviously, in NA, and now the EU is getting their business going. And there's a phase one infographic that we've got to talk about here on the show. Some pretty cool stuff in here. Let's talk about it. So Mario Moonprayer Trapian. Am I saying
I like
it right?
Trappleton. It looks like trapine, but I don't know if that's right either.
It involved you adding a couple letters to say it that way, but it works out
all
ultimately.
Right. I'm going
to
say Moon Prayer is what we'll call him, of Tempo Storm. He did an infographic with some cool HTC stats are what we have included here, and we thought we'd pull some of these more interesting observations. So we learned from this what the most hated map is, and I'd like to know how we know that. So who can answer that?
Because it was picked, it was played 3 times in 211 games, combining the total of games played in North America and Europe.
So can you just as a refresher for those listening, how are maps chosen for HTC games? How do they even
That's a good question. I've been watching the streams. I guess that there's a ban system, like, but it sort of seems to happen offline. I tend to get up and go, you know, get a piece of pie during the downtime between games if I happen to be watching. So honestly, I have no idea. I see bans. I see team picks on the maps. So either I'm not entirely sure. It didn't say in the infographic, I think, if it was like most banned, although actually we can take a quick look.
The way that I know it works as far as picks, I think bans might be predetermined prior to the match starting. But the way it works is before a new match, the losing team gets to pick, okay, do you want to have first pick of hero or do you want to have pick of map? So if you pick the map, then the enemy team gets the first pick on the draft. And that's basically how they kind of balance that out to some degree. As far as how they pick the bands, I'm guessing it's prior to the match. It seems to be something that's established prior to the game even beginning.
Okay, so and to provide some further context, I added so in 211 games, Warhead Junction was picked to play three times, and it was only banned 23 times. So about 10% of the time, it was worthy enough to be banned. So this isn't a case of it got banned every single game, so we only played it three times every single series. It was literally pretty much ignored if not played on. So no one's really picking this map to play on.
You think it's because of the just the weird makeup of it, like how big it is, tall rather that it is. It ends up being such a travel intensive map and pretty much ensures you're going to have a global fight during draft phase, and everyone's going to be fighting over who's getting who to do two globals, because that feels like that might be annoying in a tournament atmosphere.
I mean, I guess I can't even imagine why that people wouldn't want to pick Warhead. Unless there's some sort of broken thing on it. It just feels like it wasn't banned, so I don't think they're scared of playing on it. I just think nobody cared to.
Just could be like, preference on other maps.
Like, every series felt like there's a Abraxas holdout. Like, of the two new maps, Abraxas holdout is the second most popular map in EU. It's not that in NA. It wasn't that popular in EU, apparently, either. But still, Abraxas seems to get a lot more action.
Sure.
And it's very compressed, so... I think mostly two lane maps are getting played. Like
no Garden of Terror.
Oh, John, now that's a piece of data I can stick my flag in there.
Because... But it isn't in the pool, I don't think.
Oh, is it not even listed?
No, I don't think it's in the map pool. Neither is Haunted Mines for that matter.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so I mean, Haunted Mines might make sense because it's newer. Right. Garden of Terror, I guess they just assume nobody wants to see games on it. Like, that was banned by HGC itself. I don't know.
I had somebody throw a theory in an email the other day, and I forgot who sent it, so I apologize if you're listening to this. But threw the theory out there that maybe Garden of Terror not hated, but people don't love that map, but you still see it in the game because there's a lot of expensive VO in that map. And I don't think that would just be it, but it is possible that map was very expensive to make. There's a lot of custom art assets in that thing. Mechanically speaking, it's unique among the other maps. And just in general, they don't want to make maps to have them die. Right. Haunted Mines is a good example of that. But I do think it's weird after all this time and after all this feedback, we still don't see that thing back in for, you know, a rework or whatever. Maybe that's coming, but... I'm a little surprised.
I have a theory that we're going to see less, and this is nothing really to do with the major complaints about Terror, but I will say, I think overall, and it's not a question I see anywhere, people don't like riding around in the Dragon Knight or in the Terror. I think I actually am of the opinion that while it's powerful and of course you'll do it, people actually hate, even if it's for a brief second. Like, I know when I go to the take, I'm like, man, I got to ride the Dragon Knight. Even if it makes sense for me to do it, I always feel like, but I want to be Kael'thas. You know, like there's I think Garden Terror is way worse than Dragon Knight because the Dragon Knight doesn't last too long, but the Garden Terror is like a full minute and a half, and it's, I think there's something to that too, a little bit.
Actually an element of, that's a really interesting point I hadn't thought about before. There's an element of like negativity that comes with getting this thing. Like, it should be cool. It should be like, yeah, look how powerful I'm going to be. And instead, it becomes this big responsibility that nobody seems to want to have. It's like, all right, who's going back for the Garden Terror? And then you get everybody being real quiet. And like, let's pretend like we didn't hear the question. And then like, all right, we got 15 seconds left. Somebody better get it. All right. And then somebody clicks it begrudgingly. And then everybody has an opinion about how it should have been used, despite nobody wanting to actually do it. And it's... yeah, it's weird. You shouldn't feel that way about a cool objective that you won. You should be 100% for the objective that you got. And it's weird that we're in this place where people are kind of down on it. And off of that, I also find it kind of weird that if you were to ask me, excluding Garden of Terror, what's your least favorite map right now? Yeah. I'd probably say Dragonshire.
Interesting. So maybe it's a subtle thing, but we liked it the first few times we did it because we were cool and powerful. But over time, that becomes a job for someone to have to do, and people prefer an AI immortal or an AI punisher or whatever the AI version of this is to somebody taking it over, because it's all five hands on deck. It's a push. It's a team fight. It's potential that otherwise gets wasted because your healer had to take the terror because it only had 3 seconds left and somebody had to do it. I think you might be onto something. I'm sure that this is, if we're thinking of this, I guarantee this is a thought they've had for a long time. But I like the idea of me becoming something way cooler than I am, in the same way that I like to be Artanis while he's, becomes an Archon. It's an amazing feeling, and you want to have that feeling, but you don't want it to be so dependent on the outcome of the game, and you want it to be able to come and go, and you still be there in the fray, whereas when you do this with that, the Terror or with the Dragon, you just sort of have to, I don't know, you sort of put some things on hold. I guess in a way, you're supposed to be a superpowered version of yourself, but you're kind of not. You're just a thing with three abilities and one job to do. And in quick match, you can't count on who's going to do what. And yeah, I think you guys are probably onto something with that. John, I want to know what you think about this. Artanis is barely represented in Europe, but has the second highest ban rate in NA. What is that about?
I think it means that North America is half right and Europe is half right. Because Artanis is great, but North America likes him probably too much, and EU probably doesn't like him enough.
Wow. All right.
I know. Well, I'm going to go right for the like vanilla middle road right there. Real non-controversial answer.
Yeah.
Because I would say, John, it would be that NA scared of him, and EU's like, who would be scared of him? He's terrible. Like, we're not even going to ban him. Mm. Like, you know, go ahead, take him. Do your worst. We don't care. It's Artanis. He's terrible. And then he's like, oh my God, Artanis.
So it's interesting though, right? Because when they're in coaching sessions and they're in gameplay review sessions and things as they work up toward eventual championships, let's say it's an NA team versus an EU team, and the EU team could care less about Artanis, and the other team bans it because they're terrified of him, and it's just a wasted ban. I mean, that potentially could happen if they're not planning ahead for this, right? I mean, that's the theory with the data. The data suggests that anyway.
It could. I think NA started to get away from him near the end there. They started to take him at smarter times, which is what you need to do. The maps he's good on are still maps he's really good on, but he has this place in the game that you have to build around, and he's not an automatic win button. And I think you see a lot of people at that time were treating him like, Artanis is the most winning hero in the game. Let's take him. He has to be good for some reason. And Europe was just more like, no, we're just going to do our thing, and he doesn't fit into it. But they started, I think the games where they actually played him were also near the end. So I feel like they all kind of came to this place at the end where they were making smarter decisions with Artanis. Mm. But he's still the best hero in the game. He's the hero of the storm. Yeah. He's the one. When you wonder, like, who is the hero of the storm, it's Artanis. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's still Sinatra backwards, so we've got that going for
That's
us.
Not going to change ever. That's always going to be true. Yeah. Varian was played in 48 games and was involved in 54% of all drafts. He managed managed to 44%. What does that mean? Managed to 44% of the games he played. I think they meant win. I don't know what they meant. This is a typo. Tempo Storm. Typo Storm is what they're called now. Typo Storm, everybody. Typo Storm on the team.
Wait, are you looking at the infographic?
Yeah, the actual infographic says Varian was played 48 games and was involved in 54% of all drafts. He managed to 44% of the games in which he played. I think he means wins or lose.
Managed to win.
Probably win. Yeah. Malfurion and ETC are the defining top picks in their roles. Does that surprise you, Bo, that ETC and Malf continue to be the big picks always, ever and forever?
Yeah, I mean, ETC, I think, was more of a surprise than Malf. I think everyone knows the secret about Malf being the top support, no matter what the mode. But I kind of thought it might have been not ETC. I don't know who I thought it was going to be, but just not ETC.
Yeah.
I would have suspected Variant because his popularity really shot up. But like as you said, in NA, he only won 44% of the games, even though he was played in half of the games. And although in EU, he had a better win rate, but wasn't picked that much.
Right.
So, yeah.
Muradin and Karazim, although very popular picks in the EU, were really low win rates, which makes me tiny sad that they were popular, but not, they didn't win very much. Because I don't need anyone talking shit about Karazim. He's my hero of the storm. He's the best player in the game. So yeah,
he had a pretty low win rate in NA as well. I think we have a stun blow up meta, and I think that's at least how competitive's playing, is trying to zero out a target as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he helps. Mm. I think you need your support to provide a stun or something, and I just don't think he does it. And I think that's where you see him struggling. Yeah. He's not a big damage dealer, and he's a good healer, but you need more than just healing on your supports, I think, especially when you've got other supports that will do more for you.
Yeah.
And Muradin ETC are very neck and neck with what they can provide for their team, except ETC has a little bit more utility, can do a little bit more, can do things a little bit better. He sets up plays better than Muradin does. He has a global depending on the ult you take. Like, he's a little more versatile than Muradin. And I've also... Muradin's kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, too.
Muradin has his moments, but his fun is definitely not found in his ults. Like, I've always felt those are just the least flashy fun things to use in the game. One of them gives you health a little longer with a tiny bit of graphical flourish, and the other one knocks a dude away. And they're just, like, straight up boring. I feel like that guy's heading toward a rework, in my opinion, at some point.
So are you saying John Muradin has a lower win rate because the people playing him got bored, like, in competitive even? Like, they forgot they were competing?
No, he can be countered easier, too. Like, yeah. The ability to stun him out of his leap is really a big hindrance for Muradin, especially with how stun heavy we are right now.
Yeah. I'd be on board with you if you said people were bored playing him and actually just performed worse because they weren't even in competitive enjoying it. Yeah. Like, I think there would be something to that. But
he was a popular pick, just not a winning pick, according to the data. Let's see. First pick value. I want to talk about this for a second. So the first pick win rate is 59% in all the 109 NA games, but only 51% in EU games. That's out of 103 games. 59%, some may be saying, well, that's just barely over half. That doesn't seem like a lot. No, that's a lot. Like, that's a defining percentage jump in win rate based on first pick. So that immediately makes me wonder, is the first pick ban system busted? Because how can this be? Have they gamed the system? Is there some trickery to this? Or is the NA, are the NA numbers just somebody got lucky? And
I wonder if it has to do with proficiency with maps. Mm. Because keep in mind that anytime somebody has first pick, they're not getting first pick on the map.
Right.
So it could be a case of somebody saying, well, we think we're really good on this map, and giving up that first pick for the character. Mm-hmm. They're just not playing as well on the maps that they're picking. They're thinking that they're going to do a better job on a map they're familiar with than guaranteeing a hero that they really want. And that might not be working out as well in NA as it is in EU.
I can see that.
So that's another way to look at it. It could also just be that right now, or at the time that these were played, there were some heroes that were really, really strong, and being able to guarantee yourself one of those really strong heroes could be a bigger advantage than maybe they expected.
What if I want to do some armchair psychiatry or psychology, let's call it that, and I believe culturally that America is all about winning, and they see when they get first pick, their attitude, like, literally changes to believe they have an advantage now because they got first. And it actually plays out mentally in the game, and they end up having a slightly better win percentage. And in Europe, they don't care about who's first. Possible? Just saying. You know, I don't think it's xenophobic to say that, or I don't know what it is. It's probably zero science backing up what I'm saying. But that was the first thought I had when I saw these numbers.
there definitely are metas in the different regions and cultural differences within those small groups playing together. So I think it could just point to exactly what you said. I'd say it's still pretty small sample size, but it's something I'm sure we're going to be continuing to look at once the Korean and Chinese regions also check in with their stats.
Mm-hmm. After and, they destroy
so,
us.
So I think, you know, sooner or later, hopefully we don't see that. But if we do see in a larger scale and competitive a first pick bias, I think that'd be very interesting to know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about... let's see, hero pools. Average hero pool per player for top three NA teams is about 7.5 to 9.5. That means that's how many characters they play highly proficiently, right? Is that the idea behind that?
Well, no, it's how many they played in the first phase of the season. Oh, that they actually played.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so the average hero, like each player on a team, on all the teams, played between 7 and 9 different heroes. Mm. So they, even if someone's like, oh, I'm a Fex player, they still didn't play a different hero for every single game necessarily, right?
It's good to see Chromie represented in these numbers as well.
Oh, of course, because if you didn't have Artanis, then we'd probably have Chromie. Oh, no,
I just mean the 0.5 because I'm stuck on the 0.5.
It's an average, right?
I get it, because she's short.
Add it all up and divide it by the number of players. And
yeah, because she's a short, creepy baby is what she is. So I see what you've done there. I like that.
But the thing I wanted to point out about this in particular, as it follows up to our conversation about your win rates and stuff, if you are focusing on ranking up in competitive, it actually provides a solid number to think about. Like, let's bring 10 heroes that I'm really good with that I'm going to practice and work on. Like, it sort of gives you a range about what the expectation is in competitive. Mm-hmm. So it actually gives me a better idea of the number of heroes I should consider myself proficient with for the purpose of playing in a competitive environment. So those kinds of, I found that graph in particular very, very illuminating and not something I've seen anywhere else. So I really appreciated that one.
Mm. So we've got, some other interesting data here. The comps, as far as comps go. 3 assassins, 1 warrior, 1 support, most played comp in NA, and 2nd most played in the EU with 57% and 62% win rates. 2 assassin, 2 warrior, and 1 support performed badly in the EU with only a 38% win rate. They didn't give a comparable number here for the NA. But anyway, highest win rate in NA is 86% of 7 games. Is 2 assassin, 2 support, and 1 multi-class like Varian. He's the only one, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting. 2 assassins, 2 support. No wonder we're seeing that so much in quick match and other stuff. Anyway, in EU, 2 assassin, or as you wrote, 2 ass and 2 sup. 2 assassins, 2 support, and 1 warrior had a 78% win rate of 9 games. Those are really interesting numbers to me. I feel like that's
double support's a thing.
Yeah, for like, real.
Double support's a thing, but there isn't a lot of games. So it's weird when people pull out the 2 supports, they tend to do very well, but it's not an every match kind of thing. Right. And I also think it's interesting that double warrior has been very popular for a while and seems to not produce results very well at all so far.
Yeah. I don't get that. I don't want to know what changed there, because it used to be a pretty viable thing to do is pull out two warriors. Or at least a bruiser and a main tank, and you don't see it very often anymore. And I don't get it. I mean, what do you have a theory as to what changed there?
I think Varian happened. I think the lockdown burst. Lockdown burst, like, and it's not just Varian. Ragnaros was had a big impact, and that was really about isolating and sulfurous smashing the first squisher you could find. And even if not, like, you could take out a warrior pretty effectively with those two. So I think it has to do with the burstiness of the way the games are played. That 3 warriors can, or 3 assassins can provide much more damage potential than a 2nd warrior, even if it is a bruiser. It's still kind of more sustained DPS in most cases.
Do you guys think that we'll, as a John, do you think us as a team will feel better when there's 2 supports instead of feeling like that's a mistake? Because I don't know, it seems like that's paying off for people. In fact, the games we lost the other night, a couple of times we're at the hands of like a double support of Lucio and Malph, or Malph and Karazim. It's always Malph and somebody else, I noticed.
Yeah.
But
it's really hard to say, because I think when you put the points into support, and you are another person into support, you're putting more pressure on your assassins to do more damage, and carry a little bit more. That's something that's really easy to do with professional players, because they're all going to play really, really well, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with, you know, teams like ours, where we have a wide variety of skill sets, it's harder to get as much out of those assassins. So it can still work. It kind of depends on who the supports are. I just think you're going to see a fluctuation, a greater fluctuation outside of professional, because you're asking more of your team. Mm-hmm. So same thing if you go double tank. You're asking more out of your team there too. So the one I'm looking at is the example that's here, the highest win rate, 2 assassin, 2 support, 1 multi-class. You know, if that variant doesn't carry super hard, your assassins and supports are going to be strained, and you might have difficulty with it. Mm. But it's just in how proficient you are with the roles.
Right. Okay.
In follow up to this conversation, I have a question for you guys. Mm. Who was the most played specialist in EU and NA?
I'm gonna guess. Can I guess? Because I haven't actually looked.
Yeah.
Most played specialist. I almost said Tassadar because he's kind of a specialist. Medivh, maybe.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Imagine us talking about this like half a year ago, being like, "Who's gonna play Medivh? Like, we need lane clear."
Yeah.
Medivh is pretty much the only specialist played. Europe had 17 Sylvanas and Zul games, but for the most part, you're not seeing a lot of representation on the specialist side. It is not a specialist friendly meta right now, and I think this points to that.
Yeah, it's also a huge difference. 21 games for Medivh, 8 for Sylvanas, 5 for Hammer. This is just NA. But that's a giant difference between those two. 3 most picked supports were Malfurion, Rhaegar, Tassadar, and Karazim. Were both 34 each. So they got plenty of play. 3 most picked assassins, Tychus, Ragnaros, and Vala. Man, Vala making a little return there. And 3 most picked warriors in NA were ETC at 73, Diablo at 37, and Zarya at 37. So tied there with Diablo. That specialist thing must make Blizzard must be going, "Ooh, shit, we got to do something."
Medivh's not really a specialist, so
I don't know what he is. What is he? He's like a he's more support than some of the support characters are.
I'd argue he's more specialist than any of the specialists that are just lane clear, right?
Like, sure,
Like, I'd put Abathur and Medivh in their own little room and call it a day. They're okay. This is weird shit. That's the label. It's like, it goes here.
Medivh is a game ruiner, one way or another. Like, here's what he is. I don't know. Maybe this is just a testament to the fact that I never have a good Medivh on my team, it feels like. Mm. He's either on the enemy team and he's amazing, or he's on your team and he's awful.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. That's the breadth of Medivh.
That's
how
it feels. That's how it feels.
So you heard it here, Medivh players. If you go log into a game and you're playing Medivh and Revendon is on your team, guess what?
You're bad.
Guess what? You know. The verdict's been cast just because you're on his team. So
I did play that. With one recently that was pretty darn good. Mm. But I played with one recently who yelled in all caps, "Why are nobody taking my portals?" And his portals were always, he would drop the escape portal back where the enemy team was standing and then up to him. So to use it, we would have had to have dove back into the enemy line to click the portal to then get back to where we were running to anyway.
Perfect.
And he's screaming at everyone, "Why are you not using my portals?"
That's hilarious. Well,
that's why, Medivh.
Because portals are garbage, buddy.
Are questionable at best.
The maps played is interesting. You mentioned earlier, it seems like everybody just wanted 2-lane maps, but it's absolutely true. Battlefield of Eternity, Braxis Holdout, Towers of Doom, is Towers of Doom where it starts to get 3-lane. But those are different because you get towers and you get them back and you get rid of them and you get them back, and it's kind of a different, you know, method. So I think that's what makes that one different. And then Tomb of the Spider Queen, everything past that is more than 2 lanes. Why the favoritism is just simplify things? Is that the thing?
Well, hang on, a full disclosure here. Europe, the top four maps are three lane maps.
Oh, interesting.
So there's an NA bias to two lane maps. Hmm. And you know, you could say your NA meta lulls here if that's your thing.
Listen, the NA, they like to win and they also like to make shortcuts. Shortcuts, two lanes. I get it. Listen, this is a critique of our American way, is what I'm saying. I'm saying that we're trying to go.
If you only got two lanes, you can stop at McDonald's between lanes and you have enough time. Stop at the McDonald's.
The McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's.
The guy in Fargo calls it, the dad. He's like, oh, the young kid's going to the McDonald's.
I love that.
I love that.
I love that too. It's really good. I keep forgetting there's big differences between these. Like these guys, the EU guys are just different, man. Anyway, any other thoughts on how this stuff broke down? Oh, winners. No, let's talk about winners real quick. NA.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Zeratul and Tassadar. Now, I know if they were naked, you wouldn't know the difference between them, but they're different guys.
Both look like E.T. without Elliot around.
Right, when they're just...
Maybe at least their genitals look different. Like, there's some character to that. Because they're naked in your example, so I'm assuming...
Yeah, I'm sure Zeratul drew a face on his.
Yeah. Plus, I like how
you know what
it.
I mean. Maybe one has a scar at least or something.
You also said genitals. You didn't say genitals?
Genitals. Yeah.
So that's what it's called on a proton.
Yeah. Zeratul and his genitul. I get it.
And his brother, Geritol.
Geritol. Yeah. Geritol is a great name for a Protoss character.
Geritol.
He's the brother.
Executor Geritol.
Yeah, he's no good. He's a comptroller back on Ire or whatever. He can't come fight. Anyway, Zeratul, Tassadar, 60% win rate over 30 games. That's really strong. Johanna and Dahaka, 60% plus win rate, 20 to 26 games played. And Tracer, 80% win rate with 11 games played. 80? Really? Jeez Louise. In EU, Leoric, Sylvanas, and Tassadar, all 85% with 14 games, and Azebo and Chromie with 70 in 10 games. It's just weird to see the difference. It's so much more of a difference than I expected between the two regions. I mean, I knew China was cooking something weird, or you know, Korea was going to be weird or whatever, because they've kind of got, you know, lots of secret cool ideas over there. But I figured, I don't know, we're not all that different from our European cousins. I figured it'd just kind of be the same. But these infographics say nay.
They know the power of Chromie.
That's right.
I mean, they're going to be playing Arthas. Like, no Arthas mentioned anywhere in our conversation today. But, you know, you go over to China and they play Arthas all day.
They love Arthas. He's got a wide stance and an ugly face. They're into it. I don't know what that means. I have nothing to say else about that because I don't know what that meant. Hey, look at this. Let's talk about a balance patch. Monday, February 27th, 2017, you may remember it. It was the day that Tychus's basic attack range reduced from 5.5 to 4.5. Is that like, that's like 20%, isn't it?
I think if it was 5 and it was reduced to 4, that would definitely be 20% reduction. So it's somewhere in that ballpark. It's big.
It's a big chunk.
He already has a short basic attack range anyways. And I think they're trying to lean into his ability to be a tank buster without also the also added bonus of being an everything else buster. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of came out of nowhere because everyone's like, I think the thing about Tychus is everyone's like complained a long time that he was kind of weak. So when he got strong, everyone's just like, oh, yeah. And nobody wanted to complain about it, even if I guess Blizzard felt it was complaint worthy because they brought him down. Like nobody in the community was like, man, Tychus, they sure need to do something about him. Everyone's just like, we like Tychus. Thank you for making him strong.
Yeah.
We don't care if it's OP. It's
he's Tychus. Real cool now. When Garrett plays him on our team league games, he's dominant with that guy. Like in a way that's scary and gets him MVP every time and tanks are running from him constantly. And, you know, maybe it's players like that and Blizzard was like, ooh, we gotta make it a little harder for old Tychus. What's his real name? Full name? Something Tychus?
Tychus Findlay.
Findlay, that's it. Yeah, there you go.
From House Findlay.
He's a jackass. Let's see. New functionality. The minigun heals Tychus for 100% of the bonus damage done to heroes after the ability ends. That's the stuff is the talent we're talking about. Neo Steel coating now gives you 75 spell armor. That's up from 50. John, you love armor. You love shields. No, shields is what you love. Never mind.
Yeah, shields is what I ironically love.
Yeah,
so
loving the shields.
Shields always make the game great.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me happier than expecting one thing and then having something suddenly pop up on somebody and completely ruin that from happening.
Unless you're Artanis, and then you're fine with it, right? You're cool with it if it's Artanis, because he's got all kinds of shieldy shields. Right?
Yeah, but he was shielding before shields were cool.
He's a hip Tannis. I got it.
Yeah, he's got the glasses. He knows.
Varian got some changes. Fury and arms damage have been brought up. So whatever choice you make, he's getting buffed. Bo, you've said for months, hey, mark my words, Varian's getting nerfed. I've yet to see him get nerfed. All he gets is buffed. What's going on?
Hang on. It's coming. Read the next line.
All right. Yeah. Next line
go
is...
Go a little further.
No, read the second line from that, because actually the charge cooldown decrease is actually good because of buff.
All right.
But Warbringer doesn't stun. There's no more talent. Level 4, there's a talent that allowed you to stun with Warbringer. That was pretty much an auto pick no matter what you did, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't stun anymore. And now baseline charge gives a 75% slow for like a second or something. And now, so the talent only increases it to 85%. Oh, and it's reduced the cooldown to like 6 seconds or something like that. But notably, no more stun. So you can't stun a target and then stun it again with taunt and then have Valyra stun him after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a big nerf so far.
And then have Malfurion put down some sod and have him be stuck there again. Like, he was responsible for more lockdown lately than anybody in this damn game. So I think it's probably a good thing, but...
I don't think he's that neutered. I played like 7 games with him yesterday, trying out the arms fury build mostly, which feels really good. The small damage increases they gave to both were pretty helpful. I'm hoping to play him as an assassin more.
Nice.
But I still think Taunt Varian's going to be threatening,
even
without the stun.
It needs to be, right?
I mean,
that's his thing.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if this comes down further. I think... With what we had with Murky, which we're getting to him next, I think people are starting to get a little frustrated by slows. I know I am. And stuns were a big part of it, but there's still a feeling around Varian where you're incredibly slow, and then you're taunted and you can't really move, and then somebody else interrupts you, and like you said, then next thing you know, you got a lawn underneath you, and for some reason you can't move. And it just gets to a point where you just want to just stand up and walk away from the computer and say, well, great, there's nothing I can do at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I was right up against the towers. This is still going to happen, and I'm done.
Yeah.
And it's a frustrating feeling, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little something working to correct that in the game, whether that's nerfs or buffs or a hero that does something different. I don't know.
There's a lot of slow just across the board right now. I agree with you. And it can get kind of frustrating. I mean, if Jayne is in that mix and she pees on you or whatever she does, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're going to be all slow.
How I describe an icicle being shot at me.
getting peed on. Yeah.
Yeah.
The house peed on me as it melted. Let's see.
Close.
Tell me about the Murky nerfs. It says nerfs here, but we mean nerfs. What are they? How drastic is it? Because he was already considered a little ridiculous and OP at the moment.
It's like a painter, you know, painting up, doing touches, right? Mm. Like, you're just, it's a little bit everywhere. His health is reduced. His regen is reduced. Speaking of slows, his default slime slow lasts 8 seconds.
Mm.
So it's nerfed down to 6 seconds.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like 6 seconds. That is such a long time.
Well, the reason it's six is because now it has that double slime thing where if you slime them the first time and when it comes off cooldown, you do it again, you get more damage, right? You get amplified damage.
Yeah. So, I mean, anyways, yeah,
in a game where 1.5 second stun is like, oh my gosh, that's game changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 6 seconds might as well be your entire lifetime.
Yeah,
might as
true.
Well be a whole game. Like, it's forever.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. But it's only 20% slow and not a 25% slow. So
it's longer. It's longer than Mosh Pit, to give people an idea of how that works. Mosh Pit feels like it takes forever. Just imagine a 6 second slime slow. Six second slime slow is fun to say.
6 second slime slow.
Yeah, 6 second slime slow. I played bass for them in the 80s. They were great. The first album was amazing. Classic. All right. Well, good job, Murky. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some other, there's a whole pile. Like if you're a murky player, you want to have a look at it. There's a bunch of talents that got touched in very small ways. The one thing I will say is I played Monday after the patch hit.
Yeah.
And I've played all the week before murkies in every quick match game all over. Didn't see a single murky in seven games on either team.
Wow.
So I'm just saying.
Problem solved.
Just anecdotally speaking, I think people didn't appreciate this and stopped playing murky.
Maybe. Weird. Oh, you mean these nerfs then, you mean? Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
I could see that.
Just a theory, but I think your
theory is probably absolutely right. Lucio changes. You love him still. So what's going on with these changes? Healing, healing from amp it up reduced by one per tick, and party mix reduced from 25% to 20%. What did party mix do? I forgot. Sorry. I can't remember what party mix did.
Party mix increases the range after you spend 480 seconds breaking it down with teammates.
Yeah,
or right. Healing them or speeding them. You know, you eventually get an increased the brown note circle. Callback to last episode.
Nice job. Yeah.
The healing from amp it up though, going it's reduced. Like it's, I guess if it's five per tick now, it's four per tick, and I'm. Or no, sorry, if you're amping it up, it's big numbers. But still, whatever. I have no idea how it works because the tooltips don't scale up as you go. Yeah, so
it's weird.
It's less, guys. It's just less.
All right. And well, we knew he was getting some nerfs probably.
Yeah.
He's not in the HTC yet, right? There's no...
He will be. So here's a funny thing, by the way. I think we're going to talk about it later on the show. I haven't even checked. So there's now a tournament meta. If you go to your launcher... and open up to go to PTR, you'll see a tournament realm.
Oh.
And so that, because they're playing 2 weeks behind, I think it looks like you can log in and play on whatever the tournament is. So this weekend at Katowice.
I know, it sounds like something to order at the table. I have no idea what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Anyways, this weekend at Katowice. I'm so lost right now. They'll be playing with point-and-click stun variants and overpowered Lucios and Murkies and stuff. So
interesting.
That won't take effect, I guess, until 2 weeks from when the patch hits.
Weird. I didn't know they have that. Can I install that then, you're saying?
I thought it was just two weeks your launcher on Heroes. I thought balance patches were current.
Oh.
It's new. No, none of it is. It's new today. Go to your launcher. It's new. This is breaking news today. If you go to your launcher, go to region, you'll see a professional tournament realm. I haven't logged in to see what it does at all.
Okay, I'm curious about
that. Oh, crap, I have to install it. I don't want to do that while we're doing a show.
Yeah, don't do that. Your internet will take a poo.
The tip. We got a tip from the chat.
What's
if you want to know how to say it, it's pronounced catapizza.
Catapizza? Shut up. They're lying.
The tip for saying it.
I
know, but you use that as the guide. It's catapizza, but it's you say it like catapizza. It's the same sound.
Catapizza. Freaking chat.
Catapizza.
All right.
Catapizza.
I like where you're I like where their heads are at as always. Okay, Malfurion root duration reduced in base ability and talent Tenacious Roots. And Twilight Dream provided 0.25 less passive bonus mana regen. That's 1.25. So Malfurion continues to get a little tweaky, nerfy nerf. Tassadar's, let's see, his...
This one's complicated. Maybe I explain
You explain one. This because you've been playing with this quest, right? This is your build.
Yeah, there's a level one quest where if you collected 20 globes, people would have a permanent shield, 50%. You've played Tassadar, so you know there used to be talent that did that, right?
Right.
They just get 50%. They retain 50% of their shield indefinitely till it was damaged off.
Right.
And then with the new talent, collecting 20 globes would give that to you, or 40 would give you 100% permanent shield. Permanent shields are gone. They took them out.
Oh, shit.
It doesn't do that anymore. Now what you get, they've reduced the requirements, so 15 health globes gets you an increase of 50% shield strength, like in points. And then 30 globes just increases the duration that a shield is on someone for double.
Well, it's an okay
so I think
trade.
It's like 8 seconds, so now they get it for 60 seconds. So it's not permanent anymore. So gone is the building shield meta where you'd build Tassadar so that you just shield all the structures and you'd have shields everywhere on the map.
Yeah.
And it didn't help you win the game, but you felt cool doing it. Can't do it anymore. So sorry,
I like what you wrote here. Perma shields are perma gone. Nice. Very nice. Misha now has a visible leech range. If I've ever played
leech. Is that how you spell leech?
Oh, did I say leash?
No,
leash.
That's not how you spell leash.
Leech.
Oh, it's L-E-A-S-H, right?
Oh. So, okay, that explains why that was so confusing to me. It is not a leech range. So this is for people who play Misha and her pet Rexar. I don't play that character. I love him.
I tried it out yesterday. Yeah. It's super nice to be able to see. Okay. It's basically, if you leave Misha somewhere and walk away, at some point she'll leash. She'll come to you and there's a maximum.
Yeah.
But you always had to guess where it was because, right. You know, you might want to do something really far away.
Yeah.
Now you know when you're playing with fire. So it's okay. Cool.
So if you want to keep her at range and doing what she's doing without having her come back to you and blow your plan, now you know where you're doing that. That's good.
Yep.
So
my favorite change in the patch, personally.
So there's rumors that a new hero is probably going to get announced at the Clash. That is the IEM. How do you say that word? Katowice?
We just talked about Cat and Pizza.
Cat and Pizza. Cat and Pizza. That's a bad combo, by the way. Katowice. Yeah, okay. Katapizza. Anyway, the Western Clash on March 3rd through 5th. Why there? How come you think that we'll get an announcement? Has that just been rumored, or what's the deal?
There was a, I think it was a Spanish press release that hinted at it.
Yep.
That said, hey, see the new hero at this date.
Oh,
when this is going on.
No, there's actually something saying you've seen hints of it in previous stuff before.
Oh, so they're back to that again. So, Bo, you're going to get your...
Stukov. Stukov eggs were hidden in the Valyra stuff.
Yeah.
But I've also heard rumors it's a Protoss.
Well, we might be getting Phoenix, too.
Could be Phoenix.
We could be getting both. There could be a little event. I because they haven't done a two-hero reveal since BlizzCon. It's been one at a time, and they usually do two at a time. So I suspect we hear about two heroes. Could even be a map.
Okay.
I don't know. But there's a sense that there's something big coming down the line. The Spanish site hinted at it, and there was something else. Oh, there was a Reddit thread that said, can we get more generic hero units like Sergeant Hammer? And there was a blue post in the thread being a tease about it.
Mm.
So he didn't say anything conclusive, of course, but there was a little like...
some hints that maybe it's Sombra. There's been some theories about it being Sombra as well.
Mm.
Because actually in the Lucio marketing, there was a transition that looks purpley and pixelated.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that looks... It was very quick, and there's nothing conclusive in it, but people are reading into that Sombra's...
Do think Sombra would be a fun hero for this game.
Sure. You know what we don't have enough of in Heroes of the Storm is stealth heroes. And you know, the person I hear saying that the most is usually John. I mean, I completely agree. We need Sombra in this game.
We do. We're at the point where Sombra's what we need.
Yeah.
Like, I think Sombra could be very useful. She would be a different kind of stealth hero. We've got right now... I would say at least three, maybe an argument could be made for four, that their whole purpose is to be stealth, unstealth, and kill you as quickly as possible. I think Sombra's stealth would be very much to get into a position to cause trouble or to make an escape to avoid getting hit, kind of like a Tassadar. I mean, nobody looks at Tassadar and is like, gosh dang, Tassadar, the worst stealth hero ever. Just because he's good at getting out of places. It's because he doesn't blow you up when he appears, necessarily.
Right, you could do the same thing. Her ability doesn't have to be a sneak around the map ability. It could be a escape mechanism in the context of heroes. It doesn't have to be the same as how it operates in Overwatch, and that would be different than what they've done previously, because his last three characters are very much Overwatch analogs of themselves, but they could be creative with her. I think I agree with that.
And what if she disabled shields?
Ooh. Then your problem.
See,
solved.
That's where the reasoning really picks up steam, because everyone's complaining about shields a lot right now, and Varian got a little anti-shield. She could be the anti-shielder.
She could be. Yeah. Anti-shield was my favorite relative growing up. She'd make us pie and everything. She was great. Old anti-shield.
And I mean, she could be an anti-wombo if you see that there's a big thing about
we
to
never,
go
we
down.
Didn't like that, Ed.
No, that was the worst. Auntie Wombo just, come here and give us a kiss, she'd say.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Auntie Wombo's house. I baked a pie.
Her stew was horrible.
I had to stun the apples and freeze the meats and do it all at the same time. It took a lot of coordination.
Please, I don't want to go to Auntie Wombo's house.
Yeah,
come on over here. I'll give you a kiss on the cheek.
Mom, please don't make me go to Auntie Wombo's house, please. Okay, son. All right. So, yes, I think she'd be fine. But we'll find out.
What are we talking about?
This weekend, then, right? The 3rd through the 5th. It's soon. We'll see if what the new hero is going to be. So, watch for that. Finally. Oh, you said tournament server and the launcher. I'm really curious. I'm curious if that's a... Yeah, I really want to know what that is. We got to figure out what that is. The brawl this week is Braxis Holdout ARAM map. That actually sounds all right.
Pretty good, actually.
Have you played it? Done it?
I
did, but it gave me Nazebo or Opino. Nazebo is super OP right now. It's ridiculous.
He's really good.
Yeah. It's so, only with that build that takes till the end of the game to get, though, right? That's the only way.
Yeah, but once you hit the end of the game, you're like this unstoppable force of stupidity. It's great.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Super good. I really like these ARAM maps. They've done two. They've done Silver City and now this Braxis Holdout. I don't remember. Oh, Braxis Outpost. Bo put it in there. Thanks, Bo.
Yeah.
And I really like them. I like them way better than Lost Cavern. But Lost Cavern is still the only one you can select reliably, which really makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because I think these other two are way better.
I agree. And they should just do that. Make all three available as ARAM maps in the custom game stuff. Give us those. There's no reason not to give us those. They don't need to just be... They can still be brawls, but just have them also be in this thing, in the custom games.
It gives you the choice of three characters, which I know you like, Scott, because one of your big complaints about ARAM is, well, who knows what I'm going to get? And, it's a character I don't like, and I hate it.
Yep.
Or we did ARAM last week, and we got a comp that just, there was no way we were going to beat the enemy comp. When you get a choice of at least three random characters, there's a good chance that you're going to be able to say, okay, we can at least go toe-to-toe.
Yeah, that comp last week was like asking a tiny baby chicken to take on a giant metal thresher on a farm and win. Yeah. That was the dumbest comp in the history of comps. So
the story of Secret and Nim?
No, except the thresher did have a very notorious role in that. You're right about that. It was interesting. Bo, I see you editing. Are we changing something here in this thing? The
leftovers? No, nothing's changed.
Oh,
I thought I saw
some text leave. Weird. What did I just see? I'm seeing things.
Well, I just shortened it so it was more concise for you to read.
That's what threw me off. I was just making sure we weren't making any last second edits. Well, that's good news because, ladies and gentlemen, join up now and do this. It's time for
welcome
Next Jeopardy Classic. What's that? Tell me about that.
No, I got rid of the classic. That's the part I edited. Oh, it's not classic.
Okay.
What?
It's next Jeopardy Leftovers.
Okay.
Oh, so I have leftover. It's like we're reheating Auntie Wombo's gumbo. and it's disgusting, but we're going to eat it anyways. All John right. Especially loves Auntie Gumby's. Auntie Wombo's Gumby.
Yeah, like
Auntie
Mosh Pit.
Auntie Gumbo or Gumby, you said.
Auntie Gumbo.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
It's hilarious.
All right, so we're just using basically the worst of the questions from last week. So enjoy that. Right. I'm
somehow
your host.
We did a 40-minute Towers of Doom match, and still not all the questions answered.
That's true.
All right.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me. Just real quick, the NA games shortest game in the tournament so far is 8:39. Average game 19:29, and longest game in that tournament so far, 35:03. So anyway, just wanted to share those since John reminded me.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So we're gonna play just for simplicity's sake. The map is Warhead Junction this week, just like it was last time.
All right.
You know, the whole nuke business. The only thing I got wrong last time we did this is that you can't pick up a nuke and use it the same turn. It's got to have time to arm. And I was letting you guys get away with literally murder each other. Like, as soon as you picked it up, you were shooting it. And that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, she has to do her whole, your nuke is ready, armed and ready, or whatever.
Yeah. All right. So, Scott, I don't ever remember who wins anymore.
John,
do you want to go
John
first,
won last time. John won last time, but I'll go first and I'll say
John won higher. Scott can do it.
Who does it if they win or I don't care. Either way, you pick.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
All right. I'll say higher then.
Okay. You win. You get to go first.
Finally. I never win the roll, but I get like a 2% win rate on the roll.
That's true. Yeah. So the categories this week are the leftovers of Nexus Naming Committee.
Yeah.
So the only one we really asked was Dick Van Dyke last week, which was pretty funny. it just sounds wrong, but there's nothing wrong with it, really. Battle Cry Babies. We have some more left over from that we didn't get to. And we'll always have Paris. It's the French names of heroes. Okay. So pretty easy. The naming, there's two hero name categories. That's all you got to answer. And the other one is you have to name the alt of the thing I say in Battle Cry Babies.
All right.
You guys ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Sure.
All right, Scott, pick a lane.
Top lane.
All right, that's the Nexus. That's the Nexus Naming Committee.
All right, Nexus Naming Committee.
And you each have 20 core health, okay?
Okay.
HP. All right, so here's the clue. Husbandman.
Husbandman.
Husband? Oh, I know it.
But he doesn't get to answer, right? Because it's just me answering this?
No, you're up right now.
Husbandman. Oh, who is Malfurion?
You're correct. That's one damage to John's core.
Husband. Taranda.
Okay. All right. since you answered the question correct, you're to retain map control, so you're up again.
Okay. I'm going to take the same lane for 200, or whatever the next number is.
Here's the clue. Lil Leia.
Leia like Star Wars Leia?
It's just Little Leia. That's all it's written here.
Okay.
As it's spelled. Not Leia. Can you use it in a sentence?
Little Leia sure looks dapper today.
Okay.
Little Leia forgot to flush the toilet.
I'm going to say, who is Chromie?
You're correct.
Okay, because she's got the buns sometimes. And
look at that.
Yeah, I figured that was
the meatball.
It.
She's got the meatballs.
Yeah, she's horrible. Anyway, yes.
All right, Scott, you're up next.
Let's finish out top lane.
All right, just four per lane, remember.
Oh, there are four? So, oh, sorry. Give me the third one there. Yeah.
The next one is Cigarillo Finger.
Oh, who is Kerosene?
Incorrect.
Oh, what?
Although, it's not bad. I mean, but it's not his nickname.
All right. I was sure, but that one that we lost the other night, I was 100% sure that was it. That's why I answered it so quick. I'm shocked.
Three core damage to yourself.
All right.
John, you now have map control.
Hello. Hi. Let's do the Paris one for the 100.
Okay. You ready? It's in French.
Sure.
The answer is a hero name.
Okay.
Grise Tête, Seigneur de Worgen.
Oh. I'm going to say who is Greymane.
Yeah, that's hard.
You'd be correct.
Yeah, that Worgen word in there made it really hard. Yeah,
this is a real sneaky bugger right there.
That was a tough one.
All right. Sorry. Maybe I should drop that side of it. That was a little too hinty. All right,
no,
John.
No, it was good for a first
before push. Before you go, two warheads spawn.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm going to pick up a warhead.
Is that the sound they make? They go bougie.
It sure is. All right. Sure is.
Okay.
All right. So John has a warhead, and he defers map control over to you to pick up the warhead, Scott. So pick a question.
Let's do the final one. Oh, I still haven't answered the one. So there's still the question about Finger Boy, right?
Yeah, there's still Cigarillo Finger. There'll always be Cigarillo Finger.
Let me think.
You could also pick up a warhead, Scott. There's another one.
I know. What's lane two again? What's the category?
Battle Cry Babies.
We'll do Battle Cry Babies.
All right. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Gosh.
The name of the ultimate. I don't think so. Maybe that's the best one. Is it getting better, John?
No. No.
Is it?
Well, I don't know. I have a guess without knowing it based entirely on your impression. So if I get it right, then your impression was spot on.
Is it who is Vala?
It's the name of the ultimate.
Oh. What is? Oh, shit. Hold on. I got to think for a second. What is
the two charged one that's now the thing everyone picks, and no one does the spinny unit anymore, and it's called, what is, oh my gosh, I can't.
Starts with a weather type.
A weather type?
I think it does.
Oh. I know I'm gonna get this wrong, but I don't know how else to do it because I won't get the name right. So I'm gonna say, I guess I'll say the other one to be safe, and that one is called. Actually, what's that one called?
Scott Johnson answering an ex-Celebrity question in three acts.
Shit. Okay. What is Vala's? I'm thinking if I say her name, it'll come out. It's just not coming out. What is her two charge unit?
All right, I'll fill in the blanks for you. You meant to say Reign of Vengeance.
That's what I meant, Reign of Vengeance.
Right? And it is incorrect.
Okay.
I don't think so. All right. All right. Map control goes over.
How
to
many?
John.
How many hit? I took three there.
You took three. Yes.
Okay.
No, sorry, one.
One, because it's first lane, top lane.
That's a one for, yeah.
All right.
John?
I'm going to fire my nuke at the Cigarello finger, because I'm never going to.
That's an interesting phrase to have someone say. I'm going to fire my nuke at Cigarello finger.
So now you can tell us who that is.
Who is Medivh?
Oh, shit, that's right.
He's got his little gloves with the finger, smoker gloves, and they look like little cigars.
No, you're right.
Yeah, I would never have gotten that.
The reason I thought, we used to talk a lot about Karazim's big, thick sausage fingers, and I was sure that was it. But.
Sausage
fingers. He's got the thickest fingers, that guy. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. John, you did get the points for not answering the question, but using the nuke, scoring... 3 points of damage versus Scott, but because you had to use a nuke, map control reverts back over to Scott. So Scott,
yeah, makes sense. It feels like the way this should work. Bo, hey, hold on. I want to do something that's never happened in ex-Jeopardy history.
All right.
Bo, the way this game is playing is working out really well, and I like it.
Okay.
Thank you.
He's being serious.
Well done.
All right. Wait, it's my turn. Lane two, second question.
Okay. Wait, we never got the first one out of the way.
Oh, though. No, we did.
No, we didn't.
Oh,
no.
We didn't? Oh, never
but
mind.
But I like the power of your positivity.
There's still a nuke kicking around if you want to pick up the nuke. To blow up the question.
He can't buy... He can't get two nukes, can he?
No, but he's used up his last one, so he can, you know...
Okay, I'm taking this... Inventory. I want this nuke. Take this nuke.
All right. Scott's picked up the nuke, and control reverts back to John. John, what would you like to do?
Let's do the French one for two.
All right.
The French, ready for this? The French yep. one. All right.
All right. Bourbi.
Oh, I know this. Who is Murky?
Oh, all right. How do you know this?
Yeah, how did you know that?
I was there when you learned this, and you wouldn't stop saying it for a while.
Oh. Bourbi, le bébé Murloc.
Bourbi. Damn it.
Sorry.
It's okay. All right. It's all right.
Remember, these were intended for like 10 players, so it's the leftovers. So don't feel too bad about what happens here. It's
once in a while, there's one of those pieces of cold pizza hit the floor and no one knew and get put back on the plate. That's what that one was. It's fine.
Sure.
We all accept these things. It's totally fine.
Happens at Denny's all the time. Yeah. All right. John, you retain control because you got the question right.
Let's try to get the 4 point in the top lane.
You want the 4-pointer? Okay. So stupid.
Oh man.
Randy Bobandy.
Randy Bobandy.
Incorrect. Although it's a good guess.
I was thinking his prison skin.
He's already a question from the weekend's Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, that's right. Well, when I think of Randy Bobandy, the only one I think of is Tychus with his big, stupid gut hanging out.
Pretty good, but the naming committee selected someone else for Randy Bobandy.
Crap.
All right. What else with the big gut?
So he just took 4 hits, right?
Let's see, like 20 cheeseburgers there? All right. So he took 4 points of damage down to 13. Scott, you have control. Nuke.
I'm going to take top lane, and I want that question.
Oh.
Scott? I think
Randy Bobandy.
Randy Bobandy is referring to. Hold on. I don't want to screw this up.
Someone who might take his pants off if. If he had pants.
What? Your hint made it more confusing.
This one might be
It's
got
to be who has the biggest bill, but bear belly, and there are a few of them. So I'm going to just say who is the butcher.
No, incorrect. That was pretty good, too.
Shit.
You know what? This one's kind of iffy. I might revert all your points here on this one, actually. It's Stitches. Who is Stitches?
Oh, I was going to say Stitches, but his gut's all open and stuff. There's no,
too many cheeseburgers to blow up. I'm reverting John's penalty and your penalty.
Okay.
We're going to mulligan that one.
All right.
Sorry, folks. Nothing to see here. So I guess that means we're back to John.
I was trying to think. To be Randy, you have to be shirtless and fat, right? And the only
check
other
and check for Stitches.
And Stitches is definitely shirtless and fat. Just has that big gaping hole. And then you got the other two that you mentioned, the skin for Tychus and the one I said of the butcher. That's it. I mean, you couldn't.
There's Chef Stitches.
Oh yeah,
Chef Stitches.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay. It was a stretch. The Nexus naming committee. Sometimes they are wrong, and so we've validated.
All right,
John, go ahead.
All right. There's no nukes, right? Oh, yeah, because Scott has one. All right. Give me the French one for three.
Louisaille.
Who is Lucio?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Dang it.
Three damage to you.
I have a nuke still?
You do.
Okay. And I can use that on John immediately, right?
Sure.
Yeah, but why would you want to? I'm over here minding my own business. I gave you hints.
What's the current score?
Score is 14 John, 10 Scott. That's your health. You die when you get to zero.
And how much health does a single nuke hit him for? One?
Kills him. Makes him miss a turn.
Take out a question. Get the points, man.
I'm going to kill John and he's going to skip a turn. That's what we're going to do. That's John dying.
That was uncalled for, man.
So Scott,
yeah.
Scott, you got your choice from Battle Cry Babies or We'll Always Have Paris?
Let's do Battle Cry Babies for whatever's next.
All right.
Here's my revenge.
Oh, we're back to this.
Look at that, Scott. Revenge from beyond the grave.
I forgot that was that.
Don't you wish you had used your nuke elsewhere?
And now, don't gloat. I'll penalize you.
Say that one more time.
I'm already dead.
I don't think so.
Oh!
It's not a character you play.
No, it's not. It's a tank, though. I think I know it now. What is Johanna's... Oh, shit.
I'll give a second hint, too. It's a character. It's a new character.
It's not Johanna, then.
2016 and on.
Jeez. What is... I can't remember names of these things. What is...
John, sorry.
What is Li Ming's push unit deal? The one that's not the laser.
Wave of Force?
Yeah, Wave of Force.
Wave of Force is your answer?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
One core damage to you. All right, but you get to go again because John is dead.
Oh. I'm dead.
Okay.
So you can retry that one. Look, some nukes are spawning. There's three nukes available now.
You
can pick up a nuke, or you can answer the Battle Cry Babies question, or you can try French on.
And the French one we're screwed on, too, because Lucio wasn't right. So I'm going to say... pick up a nuke.
Okay, you picked up a nuke.
I literally traded a nuke for a nuke. It's so dumb. Anyway, go ahead, John.
John, you've respawned. You've stepped out of Hall of Storms.
I'm going to do Battle Cry Babies.
I don't think so.
I think it's a Valyra ult, but I don't know which one.
I don't think so.
I don't know which Valyra ult. So I'm having a really hard time picking
it. Think about what I don't think so. The context
don't
makes
give
sense.
Her too many hints. Him hints.
I'm going to say I don't remember hearing it very much. So I'm going to say Cloak of Shadows.
You're correct.
Ah, damn it.
and damage to Scott's core.
I even knew John, the name of that.
Retain control of the show. Control of the show. No way.
Darn right.
You retain control of the board. You may continue.
Okay.
Let's do... let me pick up a nuke.
You picked up a nuke. Scott, you're in control of the board now.
All right. Now, that third nuke just sits there till one someone spends one, right?
That's right.
Okay. The battle cry deal, next one.
Hey, buddy, catch!
Hey, buddy, catch.
Hey, buddy, catch!
That wasn't that bad. That's pretty good.
What is... Oh, shit! Hold on a second.
I believe what is... Oh, shit is the most answered... statistically, it's the most answered response in Dexterity is.
Hold on. What is Gazlo's...
Hey, buddy, catch!
His Wombo Combo deal. His thing, yeah, he does.
Auntie Wombo is approving of this. I'm going to help with the name because the show's got to move on. I know what you mean, though. John, will you allow it?
Yes. Yeah, why not?
All right. You mean you're referring to Gravobomb?
Gravobomb! That's it. Yeah. The one that sucks everybody in, and then you somebody does something else and everyone dies. It's great.
That would be a correct response.
All right.
Anybody, catch!
That is a correct response? That is a correct response.
Correct. Okay. You got it right.
He's the only one that talks like that. So
you both have a nuke. Scott, you have 8 core. John, you have 12. And Scott, still in control.
Nuke the...
Think carefully, Scott.
I'll do the French thing. Let's do the French. I'm going to try that question.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. So Louisai. I'm going to give a hint. It's nothing like what it sounds like in English.
Great.
Louisai. So it's not Lucio I.
Yeah.
It's not Li Ming. Louisai. It sounds nothing like it.
Okay. I'm going to say who is.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, no, never mind.
What were you going to say?
Yeah. I have the rest of the name, but I stopped reading it. But if you don't speak French, you're just not going to get it. So I think I'm going to read for the last two. I'm going to read the full title. Okay.
Okay.
So it's Louisai Dragon Fieric.
That didn't really help. Okay. I'm going to say.
You can nuke it too if you really get desperate.
Oh, I can, right? Because I still have the choice. Yeah. I'm going to nuke it.
All right, you nuke it.
Is it Chromie?
So John is down to 9. No, it was not Chromie.
Who is it?
Brightwing.
That I would never. Oh, Dragon Fairy Fly thing. Oh, yeah. All right. Now it's coming to me.
Fiek.
Dang it.
All right.
So John is in control because Scott had to resort to the nuclear option.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to try and do a run here, Bo. I'm going to try and win it right here in one fell swoop. Give me level 4 French.
Okay, here it is. I'm going to say the whole thing just like I did for Scott, alright?
All right.
Balafré, terreur de sombre comté.
I heard sombre.
Also, nothing like it sounds like English.
Okay, say it one more.
Balafré, terreur de sombre comté.
Balafré. Is it Diablo?
Incorrect.
Dang it!
The run is over.
How much was that points? 4 points?
you're down to 5, sir.
All right. My turn?
Control goes over to Scott. Yeah. There's a nuke available. You don't have one in hand.
How many questions are left?
There are 3 questions left. 2 under Battlecry Babies and 1 under We'll Always Have Paris.
All right. Let's do... Did we do is Battlecry Babies the same one we already tried? We got that. We cleared that.
We got it. It's a new one. You have a fresh one at the...
It's level 4, right?
It's level 3.
Okay.
So we've done the Merc, we've done the Fort.
So let's do the level 3 of that. Let's do Battlecry Babies. I want to get this.
All right. I feel like ready for this?
I feel like I'm risking it all on my crappy memory, but it's fine.
You thought you were so clever.
Good luck, Scott.
You thought you were so clever. It's pretty iconic, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
I know the hero. I don't know which alt.
What is Diablo's stun thing?
You mean Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
That is 3 damage to your core. You're down to 5. It's 5 and 5, boys, neck and neck.
Oh my John, gosh. Oh my gosh.
There's a nuke on the ground, and Scott has, or you have a nuke in your hand, right, John?
He always does, if you know what I'm saying.
I do.
Yeah.
Down to the wire, boys.
Everywhere I go. All right. This is going to probably either win me or lose me the game right here. I'm going to say Asmodan Blackpool for the Battle Cry Babies answer.
You got the answer correct.
Damn it!
Yes!
Damage to Scott's core.
I knew it was Asmodan. I didn't know which one.
He has 2 HP left. What do you want to do next?
Hey, can I hear the question for Battle Cry Babies and still use my nuke if I don't like it?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Here's the question.
You just can't answer it.
Let's get to the root of this problem.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and nuke it because I'm not confident enough that I'm going to get it.
All right.
I think boom. It's either Malfurion or Lunara. Probably Lunara, maybe? No?
Okay.
All right. It doesn't matter. I'm nuking it. No, nuke it. It's the only way to be sure.
Yeah.
The answer would be, what is Thornwood Vine for that one? But you've nuked the question. Winning the game for yourself.
Who's Thornwood Vine?
Lunara.
Oh, that is Lunara. Okay, yeah. Now wait. He won? How did he just win?
Because you had 2 health remaining and he shot a nuke at it.
Oh, I thought I had more.
Four points.
Shit!
You were so close, Scott. It was a tight game.
Yeah, that
if
was
I
a tight
had got
game.
Blackpool wrong, you probably would have won the game, Scott.
That was the most intense Next Jeopardy game we've ever had, and it was with leftovers. I don't get it. Yeah. What's that about? That's crazy to me. Yeah. All right,
congratulations to John on his victory, but most of all, congratulations to the listeners.
Yeah, for having to sit through that. You poor guys. All right, time for this. It's time for a quick email from you, the listeners. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address. We got one from Crush with a K is his name. He says, hey, Core Hounds, despite the various scandals, surrounding HOTS logs, the Heroes community still seems to quote this source as the be-all and end-all of Heroes meta. Not only that, most seem to only ever use the front page and no further investigation. I used to pay very close attention to where the heroes I like to play landed on that list, and it mostly led to me being unhappy or self-conscious about the heroes I was feeling good at. I've stopped using the site for general stats. I still use it for personal stats, but I'm a happier gamer. To me, seeing one of my heroes in the top 5 on the main list only felt like a relief, and seeing them under that made me feel like I shouldn't even be playing that hero. It was stressful. Now I just have heroes that I know I'm good at based on personal win or loss statistics, and I choose them based on knowing if I'll be any good on that map or if they'll be good on that map. I get that map knowledge just by thinking about what my hero is good at and what the map demands. How much do you guys in general rely on HotSlog's data, and how does it affect your hero choices? Do you use your personal statistics instead as well? Love the show, Crush. I'm with him on using the site for generalized data that makes you feel like you're playing the wrong hero. I hate that. I hate that feeling. Because the answer is, some of my most fun I've had in that game, some of my favorite games, best turnarounds, crazy come-from-behind wins, are on heroes that are not in the top 10 meta picks, HOTS logs, above 50% win rate people. So F that. I'm totally with him on that. On the other hand, I don't really use the personal stats because I'm terrified about how good or bad I am. So I don't look, which is probably not good or healthy for my play in the game. But that's fine. That's what I do. Bo, your take on HOTS logs as it stands now.
HOTS logs, very good, useful site. I think mathematicians and economists and all kinds of people who use numbers have proven that there are things to learn and advantages to glean from looking at numbers. However, from a philosophical standpoint, I like to think the person you are a second ago is not the person you are in this second, and that happens every second. So every second is a new opportunity to do something new or be something new and try something new despite the evidence there. So it means I actually kind of don't like HOTS logs. I think it's useful, but up to a point. I play the game to enjoy myself, and I think that's how you should take it too. Nice. Unless you're trying to get to the Grandmaster level, like you're really less analyzing it is going to produce replicable results for you. It has no bearing on your life. Mm. And that actually doesn't apply to as many of us as we'd all like to think of ourselves sometimes with our egos and stuff. For the most part, I check it just to kind of see, information about myself. I'm usually never happy with what I see there. And I think, you know, a lot of people wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, they're never happy with what's there. And I think it's sort of like a similar thing. And I don't think ultimately it's a good thing to focus on unless you're trying to become a top Grandmaster player. And if you are, none of us can help you. We're not Grandmaster players in a certain sense of the word. So Right. You need, you know, like that's about the extent of what I can answer there.
All right. I like it. Very zen, yeah. Zen-like and bow-like in your response. John, your take on Hot Slogs.
So the example of what he uses it for or what he was feeling down about it on, I actually kind of got hipster about it, where if a hero I played was in the top five, I didn't get excited. I wasn't like, yeah, I'm vindicated. I was like, oh, crap. I'm playing a hero that's super popular right now, which is A, annoying, and B, means it's probably going to get banned, which is also annoying, or it's going to get nerfed soon, which is also annoying.
Yeah, triple annoying.
So it's really bad. Whereas if I'm playing a hero that's down near the bottom, I didn't look at it as, oh, I'm a garbage player for picking this character. It's, well, this hero has an opportunity to grow and maybe people aren't utilizing them the way Blizzard intends them to. Like, let's try it. Let's see where we go with it. Sometimes heroes legitimately are kind of in a bad place. Sometimes they just haven't had their potential tapped correctly. And, you know, I don't play at a skill level where I need to let that data influence my play all that much. If I go into a game and I play whatever hero better than anybody else, I'm going to perform well at my level, regardless of what the win rate is for that hero.
Right.
Because it's going to be at a level where that's going to be difficult for people to counter. Artanis had a super low win rate for a long time. That's why he got all these buffs and became a real big player for a while. But I was playing him a ton before that, and he was still a good pick for me because I was very proficient with him at my level. And that's the way you got to use it. I like Hot Slogs as a site. I don't use it as much anymore. But I do think there's good data and there's information to learn there. But the nice thing about it for me is I can use it for kind of my own personal uses, and I try not to worry about bigger meta issues because it's realistically not an issue where I play this game.
Sure. And always take into account that that data is not Blizzard data. They don't let that stuff out. This is approximate data. None of it should be 100% accurate. And if you at least have that attitude about it, you should be okay. Crush.
Now, I used to let John affect my hero choices, because whenever I'd hover over Lost Vikings, he'd get upset, and that made me want to play them.
Still does it. I think that's still a thing. And we see you hover over those characters, and I just am bewildered at why they're in the game at all. And John sees them as a real threat to our lives. So I totally understand. All right.
I'll let Bo play Lost Vikings. You can play Lost Vikings, Bo. Mm-hmm. You're good at them.
Yeah.
I've won you over, but there was a time when there was like, you know, you were just like, Lost Vikings isn't good. We need a real damage dealer.
And if you want a list of heroes, Bo, I can give you a list of heroes.
Mm. Yeah, that you want me playing or that you playing?
That I don't want you playing, that I'm sure you
would play. Medivh.
Medivh.
Yep. Number one. Nailed it. There's one.
Who else?
I'm Gazlow. Thinking of three right now. Nope, not Gazlow.
Okay, who?
That I play with any regularity?
No, not... Well, one you play a lot. No, I... All right, I can think of two.
Okay. You don't want me playing Medivh, and you don't want me playing Uther. We like Uther.
Samuro.
Killer. We have a killer.
I bet it's Samuro.
I will say it's a support.
Oh, it is support. Oh, is it Lucio?
Not Lucio. Oh, okay. Although Bo sometimes trolls me on Lucio, and so there is a part of me that wants to be like, Bo, don't play Lucio, because sometimes we get... Gonna try, Bo, and sometimes we get, look at me skate around the map, Bo. And depending on which version we get,
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Fair criticism.
Yeah. You get Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk Bo is off having some real fun. I can't think of who that support would be. It is a support?
Oriole?
I don't think I've ever complained about it to him either.
Is it Oriole? I can't stand Oriole.
Carl Jim?
It is Oriole.
No, it's Oriole.
Oh, you hate Oriole generally. That's not even personally. Everyone who plays Orioles not a good... isn't yeah. bad John Land.
I love her.
There's a Dear Martha letter happening every time you pick Oriole on his team.
She's a really cool character. I love her. Her whole idea is awesome. I can't stand playing her. I can't stand it. And I like support. Yeah. I like playing support. I don't like put the crown and earn me some shit mechanics. I hate that. I freaking hate it. Because I have to rely... Ugh. I mean, maybe it's just perfect in a really...
Welcome to my club, Scott.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, dude.
There you go. We're getting to the root of the matter.
I'm totally with you. I don't like her there. I liked her in Diablo 3. I like talking to her, like checking her out. I'm like, yo, what are you doing in here? Oh, this is great. Okay, see you later, Nephilim. That was great. But I don't want to play her in this game.
I think John really just hates the hope mechanic. I think if they just had a mana bar and they could heal reliably, it would be okay. I think there's the whole... seeing them flounder with no hope in more ways than one just really tilts John. I think that
I'm totally
with
you.
Well, it's like you need healing and you look over at Oriole and I feel like every time I look at her, she's just like, oh.
Yeah.
You just get a shrug. What do you want me to do about it? I feel as hopeless as you do.
It's not as bad. I don't feel as bad about him as I do her, but I feel
smart.
I feel as similar. Oh, we got a Dear Martha queued up. Okay, hold on.
Sorry to interrupt you. You should finish your thought first.
No. All I was going to say is Gul'dan is that for me as well. Not quite as bad, but I don't like mechanics where I got to kill myself to hurt people. I hate that. Freaking hate it. And I wish they wouldn't have that as much in the game. But I know it's for some people. All right. I understand we have a Dear Martha. Here we go.
My dearest Martha, today we were joined by an angel of a healer. Her name is Oriole. And Martha, let me tell you, she's the worst. Every time I get injured on the field of battle, I look at her. And she just looks at me with a blank expression on her face, if she had one, and shrugs. And I say, Oriole, it's just a flesh wound. Do something. And she flies away. I'm not sure what the point of her is, Martha. She's supposed to be the angel of hope, yet she's given me none. Martha, I'm never going to see you again. Of this I'm certain. All the hope has been taken from me. Yours in this... he's gone. He died.
Yeah, he's
mid-letter.
Dead.
Did die it was mid-letter. Still delivered.
Yeah, but that was the end. Gone. Who was the character that died, though? I just want to know. Who was the
hero? Sniffit32.
Sniffit32, thank you. I gotta always have these names. If I don't have the names, I feel like we haven't quite finished our job. Well done. I don't even know what to say after that, except to say, hey, that's the show. Oh, by the way, core@heroesforyou.com. That's where you send your emails just like Crush. We will answer them on the show to the best of our abilities. If you'd like to find out more about us, get it all subscribed and all the apps and stuff that you use to get your podcast, heroesforyou.com. There's a video version of it put up on YouTube after as well. If you go to youtube.com/ScottJohnson, you'll find it there. It's also linked at heroesforyou.com. And you can join us in the game /joinfrogpants. Play with us and other people of like-minded status. And what else? Oh, follow us on Twitter, coreheroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Do snakes fart?
Yeah, they do.